Good evening. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Very, very, very blissful.
Wonderful. I thought today that I'd start out and we'd go into the different medical ailments and get the source's perspective on, as I call them, the sentences that go with the different diseases.
Going to do it a little different way, if it's all right with you.
Yes, of course.
All right. You got to adjust the archetype of what you're trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you have these ailments or disconnects. If you call them disconnects, this is where you're, like if you have a wiring problem
mm-hmm.
in your house
mm-hmm.
and it's throwing a breaker.
Yeah.
These become symptomatic causes, like you have a short circuit, or you have an overload, or you have an amassing of something, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make it easier to flow because you're calling like it's not exactly a sentence works, but that sentence can have innumerable values and degrees of application.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to preface it just a little bit, and that way then all you're trying to do is you have a frequency manual, or if you have this issue, this is what most likely at some varying degree is that plausible condition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you got to flow that easy. Otherwise, here's what you'll do. You will basically give them the information and of how to catch the disease.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
If they're looking for that excuse, it's kind of like putting atomic information on the internet.
Mm.
So if you want to build an atomic bomb, then you just go to the internet and Google a bombing.
Mm. No good, no good.
You see, you can't help it. It is what it is. But if you do it from a standpoint of this ratio is what most likely is this participating prescription,
mm-hmm.
it's the opposite way that they write drugs for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll think you're going to get your answer sort of that way, and that'll also fill in some of the holes on some that you've gotten so far.
Okay.
So we want to make that just sort of crystal clear so you didn't end up causing a great deal of this lack of ease in the mass populace.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll pick up on anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's roll.
Okay. Well, we're going to go from A to Z until you get bored with it, so...
Okay.
The first one, of course, is acne.
Yes. Okay. Acne is, is from the ab. We know that the abject issue becomes an imbalance of hormones or increased levels of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Same way little fellas sometimes wet the bed because they're able to consume more liquid before their bladder has time to grow to hold the liquid for that length of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing with different types of acne all the way into rosacea,
mm-hmm.
which is another form of the same process. That hormone correction or that buildup of those sebaceous fluids and the blocking of those glands
mm-hmm.
shows up in a chasm or a pimple or a, now I'm not talking about the septic stuff when you have something very nasty where your skin is weeping.
Mm-hmm. No.
Not like that, because that's also acne, but not like that. So it's a blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blocking in a format that when your hormones are at a heightened level, you are blocking the natural flow of that hormone. You're running on a higher octane of fuel, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and that higher octane is making your engine run hot.
Mm-hmm.
And your body lets you know that because it blocks the natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
And when those get stopped up, and for the only reason is that you have a higher raging hormone level,
mm-hmm.
Women in menopause sometimes have that same expression.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have you know, a breakout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they blame it on all kinds of things, chocolate and all those kind of things. Well, if you block that, then yes, that can be an allergic reaction or a causal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is it's you are stopped up running at the more enriched state of hormone balance.
Right. So, in that...
The sentence is...
Yeah.
You block the pores of your skin block the natural flow because of the increase in a hormonal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what causes a hormonal reaction? Well, when you're a kid and you're becoming of age and you're starting puberty and your body takes on, it is just like the venom of a baby snake is just absolutely overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
But baby snakes have more poisonous venom because of the amount of venom that they have is the same concentration as when they're grown.
Mm-hmm.
So the body can't, if you push against that, it'll block it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blocking of the heightened hormonal balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you unblock that, then your body naturally is able to assimilate to this richer hormonal state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the hormones kick in. Is there any level of psychological blocking of hormones? Like, I don't want to shift.
Yes. The simple way to say it is change.
Mm-hmm.
Girls start developing breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Boys start looking at them funny. They're already 3 feet taller than the boys because they grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
And now here another thing comes along, and then their body's changing.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows up that way, and they have that block because of the change.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a little high drama.
Okay. And when as you said earlier, it's the pores and those sebaceous glands and everything.
It's a reaction from your largest organ.
Skin, yeah.
Your mm-hmm. dermis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where does it show up in your face mostly?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes on your back.
Okay, so the dermis, the skin, is it like your shields up? You're trying to thicken your skin or block your skin to block unwanted attention?
No, you close those pores
mm-hmm.
because you don't know this change, this metabolic change that's taking on in your body.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with women going through menopause have that sometimes. They don't want there to be that change. They don't want to have a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
They have to shave.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes sometimes a plausible outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a big old plump pimple on your face that you got to deal with. You may not notice that you're growing a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the older generation is that same change.
Yeah.
As that starts declining, when the estrogen starts declining, what does that do? That makes the testosterone more prevalent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's how that shows up. Well, now here again, just like going through puberty, you've gone through a massive change.
Mm-hmm.
That's very obvious to the whole wide world. You're growing up. It's not a big deal. But you sometimes, because of this new change that's taking place, that all of a sudden looking at Brazier's and the Sears and Roebuck catalog has a causal reaction to you.
Mm-hmm.
That can cause a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Why should you? That's something you've not necessarily felt before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, the scrotum gets more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Where little fellas can just, you know, take a lick any way they want to and don't really notice, but
Right.
Get them right in that age when they're starting maturing, and all of a sudden it's about the most sensitive thing on their system.
Mm-hmm.
If that change, if that raise in hormone levels, can very easily block that psychologically because of this change that they're not knowing what to do with. And if you notice, isn't it interesting that everybody's level or degree is it different? It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And the more easy, the more understanding that the household or family that they're coming from makes that seemingly a pretty easy transition, and then they have no breakout.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And even in JW's son, he's starting in that process, and all of a sudden, he can break himself out just completely in a little bit and clear himself up within a day.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so
it's
amazing.
Okay, I think that'll do her there. I don't know if at this stage I know a lot of the total biology relationships of conditions. I don't know if you want me to go into them there right now or do it some other time.
Please yourself, darling.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and do it now then. Let me just pull that up. Acne with them, one of it is...
No, wait a second. I got a question.
Yeah.
Is this to validate, vindicate, or supplicate a total biology position? Or is this to draw contrast regarding it or completing it?
It's to complete it more. It's like if...
Well, that's great, unless they're on a false premise.
Right, and that's where I'd like to sort of, as we go along, learn if what they're talking about has validation.
Okay, very good. So in order for that to go smooth, because it's got to come from you, sort of we'll do it, you know, spit it out, and then we'll go with it so it doesn't become a detail on each.
Yeah. Okay, so total biology acne is the person feels soiled and there's an aesthetic depreciation.
Yes, same thing, but we like the words that see, that's a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And that's a false premise.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have all these extra hormones that you don't know what to do with, and you're embarrassed because you're having feelings and emotions that you don't know what to do with, then you can cause a block.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a soiling,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for Pete's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how could that be?
Mm-hmm.
They just don't understand what's going on in their system, in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they get told what happens when they start their menstrual cycles and when they start all of a sudden growing hair in places they didn't grow hair before, that's just the change. And that's embarrassing because they don't know if they're early or if they're late or if it's normal or if they're okay or if they're jumping out of their body. It's a change.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing when you go through a menopause, when your body changes, those same causal reactions can take place because you're running on a different octane of how the hormones balance.
Okay.
Oh, perfect. Good.
Okay, very good. Now, I do have acne rosacea as the next one, so
good.
Will we just, is it similar or?
Very different.
Okay.
Totally different.
Okay, very good.
Totally different. It happens typically is when there's a low estrogen level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it happens mostly in women folks.
Mm-hmm.
When they have in postmenopausal and that their estrogen level drops, that redness is not quite acne. What it is a redness. It can be pimply, but it rarely produces pus.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you'd say when you pop a bump.
Mm-hmm.
It rarely produces pustules.
Yeah.
The blocking is different. It's the body's same thing from what we were talking about before, but it's because of the low estrogen level.
Mm.
It's what spurns it. And then that becomes, you want to be, they, post-menopausal, menopausal woman who are what they call start to notice maybe a decline, and that sometimes leads into osteoporosis and all these other different things of their lessening. They know they can no longer bear children. Sometimes they get tangled up that now they're losing their usefulness, or they have to go immediately to grandmother state, and they're not ready to go to grandmother state, and then the estrogen seems to drop even more. Sometimes sudden weight gain or loss can also set this as well. Now, it doesn't have to be exclusively postmenopausal, but lots of the time it is. Or, like, if they have some trauma in their younger life, it would cause a decrease or increase of testosterone. You see? So, that, and they want to have the appearance of being bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and have rosy cheeks. But guess what?
They get rosy cheeks.
They get rosy cheeks. There you go. Men folks get the same type of things when the veins start appearing in their nose. You know, as they age and that they get the skin, the dermis starts thinning. Then that's also what happens. You can start seeing the veins in their nose.
And I suppose in younger men that could be a testosterone imbalance in them.
Yes, but it rarely happens to men.
Yeah, I've had clients, so I know, but it is rare. Yeah.
Well, but when it happens, if you just get right down to it, you'd notice that their cortisol level would be out of whack. Okay. Their testosterone would be not at the normal balance. They'd had a change. And if you did your research, most of them have enjoyed a vasectomy.
Oh.
And that sort of causes those shuffles. Because otherwise, see, your counts have to be more absorbed within the system rather than, and as you describe it, ejaculate.
Okay. Just an aside here. Bob, are you on mute?
You got disconnected, so I've got to put the mute back on.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Ion. My next one in the list is addictions. Now, I have alcohol addiction, coffee addiction, smoking, and sugar.
Well, false premise, dear. You're using addiction like it's a lack of ease. Now, wait a second. Isn't love an addiction? Do you go dry out from that?
Some people do, but yeah.
Okay. How could that be on your list? And would you like to know why it shouldn't be?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. The only reason anybody does anything is for the thought that they'll feel better in doing it. So, if it's something they shoot, something they smoke, something they drink, something they do, something they crave, something that they think they'll die if they don't enjoy, that should be the fast, could be, easily be the fastest path to their joy. You ever know people that were drunk all their life and when they sobered up then you couldn't stand to be around them?
Not really, but...
Well, there are those that are out there that are much more pleasant as a drunk. And they're much happier with themselves because they build up resistance to the effect of why they do whatever they do. It takes more and more and more and more. So if you'll get rid of the word addiction, we can play with you.
Okay.
Let's play with excesses. Because addiction is not a bad word, nor something to cure.
Yes, doesn't, yes.
But excesses. If you deal with excesses, now you have a whole different conceptual meaning of what you're trying to speak to.
Okay.
Excesses come from the redefining of your state of metabolic happiness. You see, if you don't, and we'll do sex just because Bob's listening, he'll enjoy it because he got all excited when we start talking about ejaculate. So. Maybe this will fix him right up. This comes into a place of sex. Okay? That's great. Now, if you have an addiction, 3 times a week, that's normal. Well, some people have intercourse 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have it once a year, and some people never have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now what you're talking about, if you have an excessive meaning, you can't function because you have intercourse with your partner 4 times a day, and you can't get out of bed because of that excess. Now, that's something you could speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you have to have instead of orange juice, you have to have a glass of scotch for breakfast just for a little pick-me-up, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's absolutely kind of normal for some people. Some people are on vacation, and they'll enjoy a Bloody Mary for brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's might as well be shooting Jack Daniels. I mean, might as well be rye whiskey. What's the difference, you see? Or your mimosas with your champagne and orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Folks don't look at that as excessive, but you start bringing out the scotch at 7 in the morning, and, well, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have an addiction. No, it might be that they have an excess.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your good Canadians and a lot of your good Londoners start their day with a little shot of rye.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put a little spot of whiskey in their tea in the morning. And that's all they have. They just have a drop in their tea, and that's how they start their day.
So where does it get into people thinking then that they are addicted or they are sick everybody tells them that they're sick with it and their liver gets affected? What's the flip point in that?
Has to do with their acceptance that they think they're doing something wrong. That's when it starts having negative effects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's none of their business, and it's none of their business, you can chew a cigar, smoke a cigar all day, every day, all your life, until somebody says that you're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start realizing maybe you are out of control, then it starts showing up and you get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, if it's become the normal, what's normal for you, that's fine. Same way, okay, so let's just put, you might as well put triglycerides in the excess column.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well put HDL in the excess problem, because that's what they use to make force you into a causal reality that you're out of control.
Right, right.
And you got to do this, and you got to exercise, and you got to run up the hill, and you got to do the Stairmaster, and you got to never eat sugar again. And you can't replace it with an artificial sweetener, because that's even worse.
Right.
So every opportunity that they give you as a laudable conclusion that you could enjoy, they immediately put that in the cancer column. So you're screwed no matter what you do, you see. But if you can align with the process of enjoying whatever reason it is that you enjoy it, you can find yourself enjoying a nice glass of wine with dinner and not be scheduled for an attendee at the Betty Ford Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
you could also drink a case and get yourself out of balance. If that's the case.
Mm-hmm. So how do people assess where they're at between a drink and a case, or their feelings when they drink something? How do people get the trigger to want to align themselves with just doing things, the word I'm looking for, doing things in
moderation?
Moderation, right.
Okay. Moderation comes from the balance that you want to be in your senses. When life is so much fun, that you enjoy experiencing and not having your heightened sense dulled,
mm-hmm.
or having your heightened sense or your dull sense heightened.
Yeah.
See, people take different things for different times, for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it all starts off with the bead in college when they have stamp 3 days to study because they feel guilty because they didn't do the work all along.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a way to solve an excess.
Mm-hmm.
So they can have excess time awake. They don't have to sleep. They can knock it out real quick and if they feel that they have cheated something by not doing the work as they went along, you see,
mm-hmm.
then what happens is that becomes, oh, well, I did it in high school, so it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the next thing you know, everything turns into that.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you mean the words, the way to solve an excess? Can you go in?
Solving an excess is not the exaggeration that it is an excess.
Mm-hmm.
If it's balanced, okay, let's say you're in a situation and you have too much to drink and you develop a little alcohol poisoning,
mm-hmm.
you will throw up
mm-hmm.
and you will not feel well
mm-hmm.
and you will dehydrate your body and you will sleep, want sooner to drink. You keep drinking and you will go to sleep
mm-hmm.
and then your sugars will metastasize to a process that will dehydrate you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will feel horrible
mm-hmm.
the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trick themselves into the hair of the dog, as you've heard it described.
Yes, yes, yes.
So they'll start off with a drink to balance those sugars back to where they were high, out of control.
Uh-huh.
And you got high. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes, you can move your normalcy to drunk all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you function just fine.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your choice,
mm-hmm.
you see. The same way with some people, you get up and eat breakfast, and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so if you eat breakfast, you're an addict. And if you don't eat breakfast, then you don't, and you're cutting yourself off because you feel guilty because you don't think you should eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't attach any of that to any of that, guess what? It flows just naturally and normally.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't make room to make the cut of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have it from the point of how do you deal with excesses,
then
you have to look at why do I enjoy this thing. Well, if you talk to people that are out of balance or in excess, they don't enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Let's don't do something so nasty and so evil. Let's do somebody that's 100 pounds obese.
Uh-huh.
They don't enjoy that whole chocolate cake they're eating. They could get just as much pleasure out of a slice of cake.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a slice of cake, they wouldn't be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
That excess would not affect them. As a matter of fact, it's actually good for them. Because you could do the other side of being anorexic and cut yourself off that anything you eat is going to make you sick.
But as someone is 100 pounds overweight, they might want to eat the whole cake and not stop at a slice.
Well, that's because they're already out of control.
Uh-huh.
So excess is not a piece of cake. Excess is not caring, and you feel good, so you eat the whole cake because you don't think your world's going to be much better anyway. Isn't that why the alcoholic stays at the bar till it closes?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not the same deal?
Mm-hmm. So then this is a situation where the people need to find the fastest path through their joy, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, they do. It's in a bottle or in a pill or in a drug or something they shoot
mm-hmm.
or something they smoke or something that they do. And if you just leave them the hell alone, they'll work it out. And they don't have to get sick and die from it.
Well,
otherwise, the mm-hmm. Irish people would have fallen off the planet long, 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 long time ago.
Well, I think it's probably getting harder and harder because every time they turn on the TV, they do see ads for all these rehab clinics, and so they're constantly getting barraged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, the worst thing that you could do is to take and do what you call, and I'm sure intervention is on your list somewhere, is to do what you call an intervention and force them into a detox or a drying them out process to where they send their body into total shock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they have to have suicide watch on those wards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I don't quote unquote believe in intervention, but.
Well, but you understand, they get there, you can get there, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you throw your life away. I'm going to get you some help.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts right now
mm-hmm.
as we do a full cavity search to make sure that you don't have any Vicodin in your rectum.
Yeah.
Warning, man, please.
Right. Okay.
Did that deal with that?
I think so, because then into that I can pull in some of the fastest path to your joy and how, you know.
And then you come to a place where you don't need it anymore. The same thing was true with the perfect example, and we have this kind of firsthand, was with J.W. enjoying tobacco
mm-hmm.
or nicotine.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed it tremendously. There was no pushing against anything. He would
mm-hmm.
go and let the body, let the doctors poke his body and look around and all this kind of stuff, and they go, "You're doing great. Everything
mm-hmm.
is real and well and right with you."
Mm-hmm.
And then as he found this faster path or this blissful experience with non-physical, that has losing its flavor.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind enjoying tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem is now, when he tries to enjoy it, it tastes bitter. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't give the same high.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like having a cognac or a brandy,
mm-hmm.
which he has no trouble enjoying a nice brandy, but he might have one glass of brandy a year.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and it is pleasant, but it's not even something that he craves. You see, so. If you take away addiction, call it an excess,
yeah.
and bring it back into an enjoyable, why you enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
that's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're getting your sentences, but you're not asking for the solution. Are you after a solution?
I guess solutions would be nice. Yeah, that would be.
All right, here's the solution. You have a client who has whatever addiction.
Yeah.
Okay? And here's how you handle it. You figure out what it is and try to get to the root of the bottom of what causing their lack of ease
yeah.
in this direction. Some people have an addiction to running.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll pull their Achilles tendon, they pull their hamstring. I mean, they just really rip their bodies all to pieces and end up with knee replacements.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just addicted to this process. They can't deal with their problems, so they run from them. Okay, so you come back to figuring out where they are. Because they are where they are, and that's perfectly okay. That's step one. Number two, you bring them to the place where they should not change one thing that they do in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Make no change.
Mm-hmm.
No change. No change. Come into the place and then give their undivided attention to every time are you talking about multitasking? Excesses or singles, we'll do it all. Let's just do it all. Let's just say that they're a crackhead that smokes and drinks and does it all. You know, they're two steps from the grave.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're just out of control. Or they may live a very long time. They're very well pickled at this point, you see.
Yeah.
Preservatives are serving them well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but let's just say they have these issues and it's showing up in their body. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking to you.
Right, right.
Okay. If it's showing up in their body, don't change a thing. Because
mm-hmm.
even if they're on the heroin or the crack, you don't just take them off of it.
No.
They'll go into the DTs or the heebie-jeebies or the many, many, many withdrawals that can cause death.
Right.
So you don't take them off anything or change anything. Okay?
Right.
You make sure they understand. And you don't, oh, and by the way, they can use dirty hypodermic needles and be just fine if they didn't know that dirty hypodermic needles would give them issue and problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if that's true, your blood transfusions would give everybody every other problem that is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it must be in those plastic lines that all the stuff flows through. That must be where the problem is.
Right.
When they
right.
used to do blood transfusion arm to arm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did they not? Well, sidebar, never mind. So you go back, you don't change a thing.
Yeah.
You keep them where they are, and you help them figure out a way to get their undivided attention to whatever act or action this is, and absolutely spend as much time as it takes for them to do it,
mm-hmm.
or stay high from it, or get their buzz of it, okay? Because that's what happens, the high doesn't last as long, so you have to have more.
So I'm sorry, when they do one of their drugs, make sure they focus on it.
No, I hadn't finished the sentence yet.
Right.
You make sure that every how much time it takes them to get the drug, shoot it up, and however long that high lasts, you make sure or show them a way that they can give their undivided attention to appreciating this thing that they are consuming.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bless it.
Mm-hmm.
Kneel in prayer before it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the strawberry fields of and every other psychotropic, buzzed out, fun thing that ever came from it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if their high lasts an hour, they should spend an hour on that process.
Mm-hmm.
Of appreciating every aspect of that thing in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, get, and you really get in a place and you, hey, and you get a good somebody that's hooked on what you call weed. They don't have a problem with that. And when they focus on that so completely, guess what happens?
Mm-mm.
They start getting the high without the high. And when they get the high without the high, then they don't necessarily require the stimulus from the nicotine, the alcohol, the codeine, the opiate, the sugar, the chocolate cake, the Snicker bar, the sexual aberration, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The running, the obsessing about everything or anything. You see? So then what happens is if you have somebody that cleans their house too much and they don't have a life because they got to clean their house, there are people who do that, you know. Literally. I mean, they don't have a life. And then talk about everybody in the world, how nasty they are. They're just living like dogs.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't even go to their house smell.
Yeah.
Why can't they clean their house up? They don't have anything else to do.
The one whose house they don't come to.
They came from a good family. What are they thinking? Okay? So if you have somebody with that palsy, and of course they're into the chemicals, which are poisoning them because they really don't want to be cleaning their house the way they are, but they came from a good family, so they have to clean their house, and they'll be judged because they didn't clean their house right. And they can obsess so about even something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make Oprah show of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And it's just as far out as somebody's stoned out of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're stoned, guess what? They don't have a lot of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
It actually serves them well, as a matter of fact, if you really want to get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why addiction got run right out of your little book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you come into that place where they spend as much time as they take cleaning their house, appreciating their clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciating everybody else's, whatever degree or level that is.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoying their beautiful things and spending time with their things and how nice they look when the yard is done nice and how beautiful the silver is when it's all polished and on and on and on and on and how nice that commode is. You know, I really don't want to go to the bathroom. That's such a beautiful commode. It's just gorgeous. But the point is that the commode is there for a function, you see. But if you don't clean it, it'll get to a point where you don't want to use it. Or if you get it so clean, it'll get to a point where you're afraid to use it. Do you see? There are people who clean the inside of the tanks of their commodes, where the water tank, water closet parts. We don't know why, but it's very important. And there are people who go to people's houses that'll look to see if theirs is clean.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's an obsession, an excess.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That's the what you're talking about, is excess.
Mm-hmm.
So, if they spend as much time appreciating and getting the joy from whatever action that is, very quickly, they'll get the same lack of resistance from the thinking about it as they do from the doing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? It can now trick your physical mind or allow your physical mind to go, wait a minute, I can get the same bliss from this without having to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 21 days, the whole habit, habitual thinking, has been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to live in squalor, and they don't have to be drugged out, and they don't have to be homeless, and they don't have to be excommunicated from the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really don't like it, they can be like Sir Richard and go live on an island where you can do whatever the hell you want to do, and it's nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's great.
Very nice.
Go to the beach.
Very nice. Now, in discussing this with a patient or even putting it in a book, do you say that's what you're trying to do? You're trying to get them to appreciate the drug as much as the drug?
No, you're trying to, you're going to give them the high without the shooting up.
So you can tell them that doesn't
sure. Work?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. If somebody just won't drink enough fluids and they constantly dehydrate,
mm-hmm.
You have them think about it. Ever how long they're not drinking water, you enjoy the deliciousness of just pure, clean, cold, if they like it cold, ice cold water.
Mm.
That's just frosty in a frosty glass, like you would like a beer that's just super, super cold. And take them through that whole process. And before long, they'll be lapping it. They'll be drinking out of a mud hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that deliciousness that is, that activation of that delicious process of hydrating your body, and how they don't like going to give blood because they're dehydrated, and so their veins are low, and they can't get it. They have to be stuck 20 times even with the tiniest little butterfly. I mean, it's just nasty because they just can't give blood because they can't do even the test because they're sick because they won't drink enough water. No. How wonderful it'd be to have your veins all pumped up and be full. So they can stick you on the first round, you don't blow a vein, and you just give your little sample for them to test to tell you how wonderful your life is.
Yeah.
You see, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get the buzz, then they don't have to get buzzed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Perfect. Perfect words.
And you can do that because you can do that because the same power that allows you to get into the excess,
mm-hmm.
is the same power that can give you an alternative directional solution that can bring you an even greater degree of bliss,
mm-hmm.
or excess joy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you smoke or not really doesn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's how do you feel when you are enjoying it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you find you're not enjoying it, then guess what? You don't have to just cold turkey stop. You can just enjoy the process of not enjoying the act.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens is you go, wait a second, that was the mainstay of my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? I couldn't take that people couldn't come to a place where they could take long airplane flights because they don't let them smoke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, and you plan your life around it. And nobody can, used to, everybody can smoke anywhere. Now nobody can smoke anywhere. So they're pushing it down to a cramp in your throat to where you cannot enjoy the creation of partaking of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And if you raise a field of tobacco, does that mean the ATF has to come control your field?
Mm.
That's the alcohol firearms.
Yeah.
Tobacco
right.
Firearms
right.
Branch of your government.
All right.
Because
but
of the taxation.
And that's a detail, so...
That's exactly right. But
yeah.
It's the same thing as your opiates.
Mm-hmm.
They're Schedule II, Carolyn.
Yeah.
There you go. And yet you'll do whatever you got to do to convince that doctor that you really haven't had 27 MS Cotton prescriptions this month.
I know.
And they have to put you, they have to report you.
Yeah.
Because you're abusing.
Okay, that's detail. Can we... I'm going to stop you here so that we can move on, if that's okay with you.
It is good. I was making sure we were getting the full body on the excess issue.
Perfect. I think that's, it's so... I've heard it before, about diving into appreciation, but when it's involved with this excess, it just makes so much sense, so...
But it's hard to deal with an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
because everybody fails. Yeah, everybody
correct.
Fails. Yeah.
Because you're going to fail because it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You're set up. You're out of control, so what difference does it make?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you are allowed to fail because everybody fails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have that choice, but what? Yes, but now that's another detail, so
I don't
know. Okay. Next, Missy, next.
Agoraphobia.
Okay, that's easy. And now the agoraphobia is there's symptoms. The The only problem with agoraphobia. No. Are you saying agoraphobia or agoraphobia?
I call it agoraphobia, but it's agoraphobia.
It's where you don't want to get out of your house.
Correct.
Ah, okay. We're just making sure, because you know how it is. We get the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, and there you go. Okay. You have some trauma in your life. Okay? Mm-hmm. Some deep-seated belief or thought you've been thinking for a long time
mm-hmm.
that eliminates your fruitfulness outside a certain boundary surrounding or climate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what happens is you trick your body into that place.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that you feel you will just die. You'll have panic attacks. You'll pass out. You'll do whatever you have to do to stay in your little space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from sometimes fear-based that gets normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with excess. Lots of people live their whole entire lives. Some people are that way even. The picture that you get is Mary Hartman under her sink.
Mm.
Gosh, that'll bring you some pictures back.
Mary Hartman, I forgot.
Yes, that is exactly correct. Mm. And every time she had a little problem under that sink, she went.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay.
Exactly. And that was the most comfortable, peaceful, wonderful place that there was.
Mm-hmm.
There was no better place than there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Same thing. Okay. So you get to that place and you get that place, you will make your body come to the place where you can't get out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, this happened with JW's brother-in-law.
Oh.
He was always large, but something in his mind said, you can't go out of the house.
Oh.
And so he got to a place where he couldn't get out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did, it just was a deep-seated re-expression of how horrible it is that he's out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a horrible house. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no place better.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So, same thing. You'll break a leg. You'll fix it some way where you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. So, how you deal with that is you spend all your time appreciating how wonderful your house is. And all the people and all the experiences and all the things that you can do in your mind outside of your cage.
You said spend time appreciating how wonderful your house is?
The one you're stuck, whatever it is you're stuck inside of.
Okay, how wonderful your house is, yeah.
Align with that.
Mm-hmm.
Align with never setting foot outside your door.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you understand if you had a true agoraphobic and you started and you went to their house and you agreed that they had agoraphobia
mm-hmm.
and that it was okay for them to have agoraphobia and that you were there to help them be okay in their state or condition it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you take 3/4-inch plywood and you start nailing up the windows and nailing up the doors, by the time you get half the house done, they're going to have a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in a box? Okay, we'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't really want to be in the box. Well, yes, you do. You've never been out of your house. So mm-hmm. you need to, why do you need all this? Look how more energy efficient it'll be. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great world. Nobody will even know that you're agoraphobic, that you're afraid that they're finding out that your agoraphobia is present in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to teenagers, tell your teenager, don't you go out with him.
Yeah.
Or tell him, don't you go with her. She's from a rough family. You might as well order the flowers because they're going down the aisle.
Yeah.
You see, mm-hmm. push them into a relationship and there'll be a killing. It won't work. Same. Now, that's a little shock therapy, but you get the pictorial. Mm-hmm. If you take them into many of these things that are called, you're putting in this list aren't even issues.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. That was what we were being careful with, saying how you listed this. If you'll cause these phobias.
Yes, now back to agoraphobia, though. I don't want to lose this. If
you got you with it.
If they're totally appreciating their home, are you saying that after a while it starts to close in on them because they're really overly focusing on just this one little space?
Yes.
Okay.
And when they overly focus it, the next thing you know, their mind might take them outside in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't go. Well, okay, you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said you had to go outside. But why can't you look through the little peephole of the door and see your walkway and enjoy what might be out there? But you don't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare go out of this house.
Mm-hmm.
I better not catch you out of this house.
Mm-hmm.
But in your mind, you can enjoy that whole process, and they might accidentally sneak to the mailbox
mm-hmm.
if nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay, nice. Very nice.
And then what happens is, just like your a pretty famous case of that was with your Paula Deen, the right famous cooking.
Oh lady. Yeah. Mhm.
She was dying, starving to death, and she started had to do something so she would make sack lunches and pimp out her children to sell the sack lunches.
Oh yeah.
And for like 20 years she had this and never went outside.
Wow.
And she went from that to being on TV every single day, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because she focused on the delightfulness of her children, the wonderful food that she was preparing, the wonderful experience and the feedback that she'd get from the wonderful people who enjoy her food. And then all of a sudden, she tricked herself into the reality that the world is a great place and I'd like to enjoy some, please.
Mm-hmm.
But she was enjoying it while she was stuck in her house making sack lunches.
Mm-hmm.
Or she wouldn't have gotten there. She'd
yeah.
still be in her house making sack lunches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can make macaroni and cheese most anywhere. You don't have to be somewhere else to make macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good example. And you can research that and play with it.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. The next one is allergies.
Mm-hmm. Stimulus reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stimulus reaction.
Yeah.
Here's how you handle it. Are you talking? There's two kinds of allergies.
Mm-hmm.
There's systemic, and then there's ancillary.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want first?
Well, let's go with the hay fever one, the sort of environmental one first.
Okay. So hay fever is you need to have an expression or exposure to allow you've been too protected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everyone that you find that's going to be pretty heavy into that led a sheltered life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had to wash their hair every night to wash the pollen out of their hair.
Mm-hmm.
They had to change their beds. They had dust mite issues. Well, dust mites are amazing because they come from you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're allergic to them. I mean, it's like being allergic. Who on your planet is allergic to oxygen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any oxygen allergies?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Give it a minute, though. There you go.
Yeah.
So how you solve that is in the height of pollen season, of mm-hmm. which now some people are affected by different little things.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes stems from childhood and then sometimes gets better, or it's okay in childhood and then it presents itself as they are aging.
Mm-hmm.
You see, how you control that and the way to deal with this is the opposite way of your excesses. You absolutely inundate them with whatever it is that's causing that lack, that's
mm-hmm.
activating the fear that's making their body have a basal reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you would take, when the honeysuckles come in, honeysuckles are specifically one a big cause.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what you do to solve it?
Probably make a tea of them or something.
No. When you take the flower, when they're blooming,
mm-hmm.
you pull the flower off the vine with this stem, the stamen, and the tip of the honeysuckle bloom
mm-hmm.
intact, and you pull the flower from the base of what it's blooming from
mm-hmm.
and you can pull the stamen through the honeysuckle, and there is a nectar.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the hummingbirds are going after.
Mm-hmm.
If you will have them ingest about 5 or 10 of them when they're in full bloom,
mm-hmm.
it will set enough of that in their system that they will not have that reaction any longer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And they're actually sucking in their bodies the very thing that causes them to have their hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever the allergen is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You balance it. You
mm-hmm.
balance it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have an allergic reaction to anything that you've never had before, because it would be a reaction to something you've never had before.
Right, right.
And when you have that basal reaction, then you don't have to get in it, then you don't have to be out of it because you have hay fever.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Springtime is very infamous for that, but there's more allergies in dead of winter and in fall than there are of springtime stuff.
So is there a sentence or an emotion that goes with this? Have you focused on
yes,
that yet?
Yes. We kind of had to dance around a little bit. We were solving the query rather than giving you your sentence. anything that you have in your life that causes a reaction,
mm-hmm.
if you will confront it, then it softens the effect in the physical body, because it softens the spiritual effect.
Mm-hmm.
People have allergic reactions to ex-husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not?
Mm-hmm.
They'll stop breathing. They'll have an asthma attack right there in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. If you face that and draw it to you, that will balance it, and then you won't have that causal reaction any longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have that.
Now, that's the first part. Now you want the second part?
Yes. So, I mean, when you said systemic, it's more, I would think that's...
BC.
Oh, that one. Oh, I see. Anaphylactic.
Internal.
Anaphylactic, yeah.
And that's fear.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This foreign thing that I have a disdain for or a fear of, if that comes into my experience, my fragile system cannot assimilate that poison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that like snake bites?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? Isn't that like maximum strength Tylenol?
No.
Really?
I don't know. Well,
people are allergic to acetaminophen.
True. Right.
And that's
right,
drug
right.
allergies.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And that now they have to ask if you, J.W. learned years ago, drugs that he didn't like or that weren't any, that didn't taste good, all he had to do was to have them put on his chart that he was allergic to them, and they never gave him because it was the greatest thing.
Right.
One antibiotic that was just fun that he would just loathe, it's known as Bactrim.
Oh, yeah.
It is the absolute, in his experience, the nastiest antibiotic in the world.
Uh-huh.
It may be a wonderful antibiotic, but it is nasty.
Uh-huh.
It makes a metal taste in his mouth. And it constipates him. It just works great, but he just does not like those causal side effects. So rather than overcome that,
mm-hmm.
he just became allergic to it.
That's true. Yeah, very good. I tell people that. But Bactrim, that's kind of a sulfur. It messes with the sulfur.
Yes.
So I wonder if it was. Can Ion say whether it was kind of blocking up his normal, natural sulfur pathways and causing that reaction?
Well, no, it didn't really matter. He just didn't like the metallic taste that it made in his mouth.
But why was Bactrim doing that? I'm just wondering, was it...
Because of his resistance regarding that medicine, because before he took it, the one or two times he's had to take it, they went over for about 15 minutes telling him how horrible it was.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And so he immediately built resistance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was his experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For no better reason. I mean, there's no metabolic thing.
Okay.
Because otherwise the lawyers would have gotten a hold of it and there'd be lawsuits regarding it.
Give it time.
Well, yes, but you see, many of those are out of date, meaning they're generationally, you've moved into the higher degree of antibiotic that they don't use anymore. So they don't use it anymore, so now there's no resistance regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you can never go back, but isn't that amazing that penicillin still works?
Oh, it is very amazing. Okay, so for anaphylaxis then, it's a foreign thing that I have
fear.
Disdain or fear for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fear-based, period.
Okay. And
You can have an anaphylactic shock experience and the bee not even bite you.
I know, I've heard that.
Well, of course, because you're so freaked about it that, you know, you have an EpiPen in every vehicle and you have EpiPens, and I'm sitting here going, fabulous, why don't you just go ahead and give yourself a little boost of adrenaline and then you don't have to be afraid of it.
Yeah.